Are you interested to know more about microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue? Then we have an announcement for you before we start with today's podcast. You might know that we have been very fascinated with microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue. There are several podcasts that cover that topic. And now we offer a four-week online course where we translate microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue into solution-focused practice. So come check it out and go to www.sfontour.com/microanalysis.
And I think in this case, you can see how a person who knows that everybody in the room thinks she is slowly developed or she's a slow learner. Everybody knows this, and the client knows this for sure. And then suddenly she sees everything she said is on the board, and it's in the exact words she uses. So I think this is a wonderfully showing how you can support empowerment in reality.
That is Simply Focus with Every Journey and Dominic Gilda for Life and Joy and Deep.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godin.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode number 108.
We are here in Strobl, and we're sitting here at the living room table of Marianne Rösler and Wolfgang Geiswinkler.
And we are very, very grateful to be here with the two of you today. So a warm welcome.
Thank you. We are happy to have you here. We had already a very nice, long conversation about many, many, many things related to solution-focused approaches.
Yeah, and for us, it's always a big, big treat to be with the two of you. I know the two of you for quite some years already, and I just can say every time I meet you, it inspires me, and you two were involved in some very important moments in my solution-focused development. I always love to tell the story of my enlightening moment I had. And this is thanks to you, Wolfgang, showing us a video that Marianne and you prepared. And maybe we will touch on that later today. It's connected with microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue. You two are solution-focused practitioners for many, many years and work in the field of child protection services for many, many years. You do really, really great and very important work. So thank you very much for doing that.
You're also founders of the network OST, Solution Focused Institute in Vienna.
You work together with Steve and Lynn, so you knew them quite well. And yeah, you were trained by them and spent a lot of time together with them. And we are really looking forward to explore your solution-focused journey and also maybe get some stories of Steve and Lynn to hear from the two of you.
But before we come to that, what fascinates you with solution-focused, Marianne?
I've been fascinating for a very, very long time. I was very, very much touched by the first workshop I attended with Steve, who was invited to Vienna, not by us, by other people. And although he was a bit grumpy, I was very fascinated because I had the impression the solution-focused approach helps you from the very first moment to find out what the client or what the addressee really wants and to put the focus on this. And I was just about to finish my supervision education, and I didn't have the impression that I had very many tools to get in contact with the clients and to know what to do. And I had the impression it helps you, especially with the solution-focused tools, to get very much on the point what the people want and where they want to go and where they want to be. And I think that's one crucial thing I'm still fascinated by.
So what difference is this encounter with Solution Focus and with Steve make for you and your work?
I think it was the very first time I really had the impression that someone knew how to do it, not only to make theories about how to work with clients and addresses and have big theories and nothing to put it on the ground. And I think it was the first time I really got to know how to do it and what to ask and what to say and how to help the client or the addressee to find out what they really want and to find out what resources they already have to make more of this. And I think before this, I had very, very, I'm skilled as a social worker, and I had very, very many hours and months and years where people talked about theories about social work, and this didn't really mean anything because they didn't teach how to use it and how to do it. And it got deeper and deeper by the years we were in contact and experienced more and more solution focus, that it's teachable and it's learnable how to do it with clients. Although, as Steve always said, it's simple but not easy. I think it really isn't easy, but you have a concept in mind how to do it. And I think this helps practitioners an awful lot if you know or have ideas how to do it, and especially have an idea what to focus on in the conversation with clients.
Mm-hmm. So, Wolfgang, what is it for you that fascinates you about solution focus?
When we founded Network Ost in 1999, at the very, very beginning, we were not in contact. But shortly after Marianne attended this workshop with Steve, we very fast, more and more focused on the solution-focused approach. So this started in 1999. And many, many, many years later, I did a workshop for their children, and they didn't have so much money, and then they asked for, try to figure out how can we manage this. And then I said to her, there's another home, and they already attended the workshop, and maybe some of them can come again. And the lady said, no, that's not necessary. They already attended a workshop. So they did the workshop, so there's no need to come again. And my impression is, when there is a good beginner's workshop, Marianne and me, often we go to beginner's workshops. After 20 years of practice, when there's a good beginner's workshop, I really enjoy to be in a beginner's workshop. What really fascinates me is, since 1999, I experienced there are some kind of like doors or so, when I can discover doors in the reality, and behind these doors is a new room, which I were not aware that this room can be there. And this journey of discovering new doors and new rooms, this didn't stop all the 20 years. I think this will not stop in the future too. And to see on the few simple ideas to apply it on different situations and fields, which needs a little bit discipline and courage to do this, to look on what fields you can apply it, it's so interesting.
You work in the field of child protection services, and we know from our encounters and from talking together that there are a lot of similarities and a lot of things that you can apply there, and there are also other circumstances or other things that you have to consider. So what is the specialty when working with child protection services, and how has that also influenced your solution-focused practice?
For me, I think it started even a little bit earlier than starting to work in the field of child protection, because as I already mentioned, I trained as a social worker, and there you have very often contexts where you have your own mandate and where it is a little bit too little to say, I'm just going with the goals from the client, I'm just going with the competences and the resources, because you have your own mandate in quite a few contexts. And then, actually, by accident, Wolfgang started to get contact with the field of child protection and was invited to a workshop. And there it more and more showed, in my point of view, that you have to have additional tools and additional strategies how to approach the clients and how to tell the clients your own ideas and your own necessities and your own mandate. And I think this shows extremely in the field of child protection, because there is a mandate by law to look that the children is safe and the child is protected. And it's too little to say, oh, I'm just going with the ideas of the mother or the father. Even if there are catastrophes happening, your job is not to only say, I'm going with goals of the parents. Your job is to look how the parents actually also have to change if they want to stay with their children together. Mm-hmm. And then we got to know in 2008, also by accident, the concept of signs of safety. Mm. In the meantime, we got to know other concepts which go into the same direction. But Andrew Turnell and Steve Edwards, who founded the signs of safety concept, they work together with very, very many social workers. And they always checked, is it helpful? Is it working for them? Can they use it? Andrew Turnell once told us, they had the saying, if the social worker can't use it, they put it in the rubbish bin. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very interesting parallel to the original development of the solution focus, or of the pure solution focus, because they also always checked, Is it working with the clients? Is it helpful? Does it bring them somewhere where they want to go? I think that's the main interesting thing, to use concepts and to apply concepts and to develop concepts and to do research on developing it, always under the focus, is it working or is it not working? And is it a nice theoretical concept?
So it's nothing that is, but something that evolves. And and every client is different, every addressee, every situation.
And the context. For me, the main improvement using the concept we now call SEN model. So SEN stands in German for Sicherheit, Entwicklung, Nutzen, which means develop safety and use development, is that this concept offers a way to talk about your own necessities, about your own mandate, and to talk in a clear way what has to change and what are the worries we are dealing with as an institution, as the Child Protection Service. And I think this is adding something very practicable and very useful in the conversation and in the cooperation with clients, to have a way which is very, very respectful in my point of view, if you use it in a proper way, and to talk about the things which are concerning you.
So as a therapist or as a coach, I just go with the goals of my client or what he or she wants and might not talk about my concerns or don't have a mandate to want something for him or her. But here in this field, it's different. So you have to work with different parties and they all have different aims or different goals or different worries. How do you address that in a solution-focused way?
I would say that the one good idea is that the professional people want something in the case should do two things. One thing is to ask the addressee's solution-focused question. And the second thing is to ask themselves solution-focused questions. So to ask themselves what they think and what they observe, what's working in this example in Child Protection Service, what's working in the family, and in other fields, for example, for a manager, what's working in my department or what's working with this employee. So to ask myself what's working and what will I observe maybe after the miracle or when everything is like I wanted or when everything is okay enough or whatever. When everything is okay enough maybe for a Child Protection Service or something. What I must observe, which can help me to say to the family, now we can leave you alone again and you can do on your own whatever you like because we observe this and this and this. And our experience is the professionals in many cases could be better in doing this, could have a better practice to really tell when we see this and this and this, you can do it on your own and we can close the case. So to ask the solution for this question to myself and to ask it to the clients and to what Insu said, to make the time in between when should I ask questions to others and when at what time should I ask the questions to me and how can I tell the clients the answers that I had for the questions I ask myself. And this is also a discipline or a practice of professional people working together and having meetings to get clear and think through the cases, what is really important and not get distracted or get confused by a lot of data and a lot of worries and confusing things, and to ask the questions to themselves to get clear, what is that what I really want in this case?
I wanted to come back to your comment because I think the solution-focused approach also offers already things where you can communicate your own opinion. Because I think if you are ethical, working properly and respectful, and a client comes up with a stupid idea, so to say, then I think it would be irresponsible to go with this goal. Then you would more ask, what difference would this make? What would your wife or children or whatever? To ask very many interactional questions or to broaden the length. Would this be in some years or so? So I think it offers already a lot of things to handle this thing when a client comes with ideas where you think you don't want to support them. So I think it's very interesting, even in the Child Protection Service, to have these tools to lead these conversations because it's easier and it's smarter and smoother to get into the cooperation with the client. In our point of view, there are very often situations where you have to be much more explicit. Then it offers the possibility to talk about the worries, to talk about what you have to see.
As a coach or a therapist, I might talk about my worries in a coaching conversation. I might ask questions that are formed through my thoughts and through my ideas of how the world works. But as an authority like Child Protection Service, I have to do that. I have to get the clarity on what I need or what we need to see to get out of this family, or what we need to see so that the child can go back and can live back with his or her parents. So asking ourselves those solution-focused questions of what is already working well and those of what do we have to see or how will we notice in the future that it's good enough? And how does it go on? How do they communicate that back to the clients?
What we learned from Andrew Chanel and Steve Edwards and the Science of Safety community is to use the word worries instead of problems. And this is an interesting implication because the implicit message is that there must be somebody who is worried about something. So the professionals come in with as a person in his or her professional role. If you talk about problems, you can say to the family, don't you see, we saw this and this and this, and you have to see this is a problem. So the danger is that I only talk about family and see myself and this family see me as a person who has authority and is an expert. It's a possibility to see me only as an expert, but not as a person in this negotiation process or in this interactional process. If I use the phrase worry, there has to be somebody who is worried. And when I say I am in my professional role, or we, the team of Child Protection Service in Authority X, ABC, is worried about what they observed, then I'm present as a person in the professional role. And then sometimes the professionals don't like this. So it is totally another role because you have to reflect professionally and personally. And you cannot be the guy with the white coat as a doctor. You have to think about what are my worries in my professional role there. It makes a difference in the relationship. And to ask the members of the family about their worries. So to ask the children about the worries and what they think is working well and what they think what they would like to see. To ask all the members of the family and to involve a social network and to ask also the professionals and the people with the authority, like you said, because you have to put this authority question explicitly on the table to negotiate what is necessary, what we have to see and to get the different perspectives and frames of reference together in an interactional process. Totally solution focused, we think you should privilege the ideas of the family members. And you should privilege their ideas more than the professional ideas. But the professionals have to say what we need to see so that we can close the case. So some parts of the what is the job of the professionals. But the main thing of the how is the job of the family members and the network that we should involve.
It's like giving a frame by sharing what are the worries, what are we worried about, and that can be very serious things. But then also offering to the family members, so that the kids and other people in who are sitting together and important for that process to share their worries. And then from that, to find a common ground, maybe, and the different kind of conversation and different interactions. And you should privilege the ideas of the families. So how do you do that in this process?
What we do is we encourage the practitioners, so the professionals, to write things down. So what we suggest to the organizations and to the jurisdictions is to really look at their way how they make files and to really change their file making. We say the language of the clients has to be in the files. And this is also something we learned from the Science of Safety guys, and Andrew Turnell is a solution-focused family therapist. And we are using clients' words not only verbally, but also in the written files. So we encourage them to ask the clients solution-focused questions about what they think what's working well, what they want to see, and also what their worries are. So what's not working, you could say worries are, and what's not working, or what's the gap between what they like to see and what it is now. Also to talk about this and to write these things down in the words of the client. And the other thing is to encourage the workers, the practitioners, to think through the case and write their opinion down in a very plain language and totally get rid of professional jargon. And to be very specific and detailed and to get rid of abstract concepts. Mm-hmm. So now in the files often are words like educational competence. So it's totally normal in Austria that in the files is the mother has a lack of educational competence. And then some professionals get the job to say mother has to develop more educational competence. In our workshop and in our projects, we tell the people, this doesn't say not so much. When you ask yourself the question, what will you observe when the mother has more educational competence? What will she do then? And if you cannot answer this, then the case will never find any end. It's the danger. So to be very, very specific. So recording what the client says and to be in a very plain and specific language in this field. So in what's working well, what we need to see, what's not working, about what we are worried about, and what could be if the case went on like this and nothing changes in a good way, what could be the bad outcome, the bad impact for the children in the future. So these are the four fields. We encourage them to think about this and to write down things about this and to make statements about these things. So the difference between what we encourage them is to make statements. Like in a classic solution-focused setting, you make statements at the end, you make compliments and give tasks, and we encourage them to do a little bit the same, to make statements.
When we talk about them, who is them?
I think that you have very different levels how to use. We used to call it mapping, the structure, to think it through. What do they want? The stakeholders, the families, everybody involved. What is working well from the point of view of the family, the stakeholders, the social worker, and everybody involved? And what do they want to see? And I think what Wolfgang says, and I think that's very crucial, that you have to be yourself very clear. What is the goal and what do you want to see? And our experience is not only looking at social workers, also looking at ourselves when we are supporting social workers. I think it's very, very difficult in very many cases to say, how could you tell when the situation is good enough, to make it really concrete and to describe it in a way where you observe behavior. I think that's very, very difficult to really do it. It's much, much easier to say they are incompetent in educating. That's very easy because that's a traditional term and you just use it in nearly in every file because that's very often observable. So I think you have to be very clear for yourself. And in this situation, you use the mapping for yourself or in a conversation with your boss or in a case consultation with your team. So you can use it to make yourself clear, or you can use it to get the knowledge from all your colleagues and to put it on a really concrete point. And on the other hand, you can use this tool to get the ideas and the sights from the family, and then to put it on a point what is worrying the family or what is worrying the child. Because we know from child protection and from much research that the view of the child is very, very little seen. There you can find very many files where you don't even know what the child wants. Maybe it's hard to tell from a 2-year-old, but why not ask a 6-year-old? That doesn't mean that everything the child wishes is going to come true. But if you don't know what it's important for the child or what they want, then you don't have this orientation. Mm-hmm. And I think the interesting idea about this concept of mapping all the different point of views is that it helps you to be transparent. And also very many research say that the main problem parents are having working together with or having to work in most of the cases together with the CPS, they say, I did never know or never understand what they really wanted. They told me to do this and to do that and to this, and I did all, or we did all of this. And after we had done all these things, they said, no, 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 that's not good enough. You have to do this and this and this. And I think when you are very clear what you have to see, what is the bottom line, what happens if the bottom line is not met, then it gives the family the chance to pull all the resources they have got together with the network and to find answers what the child protection service wants. So I think the process for yourself to get clearer is very important to enable you to really be transparent and to tell, I appreciate it very much. I'm interested what your resources are. I'm very interested what your ideas are, and use all the solution-focused paradigm and the solution-focused questions to get all these ideas, but to be very clear what is under the bottom line and what is good enough. That's the way you use it. And we used to call it mapping. That's how we learned it from the science of safety people. But first of all, we got to know Janet, I think it was in 2007. I think it's now 2 years ago, we got to know Haesam Moon. And this idea of the quadrants.
The dialogical orientation quadrant, how Haesam calls it.
Genau, right. We applied it now for using this mapping. So the mapping structure now is structured in the quadrant. And I think that's fantastic for the clients, for the social workers and practitioners, because it has even more visualization to look at the past, to look at the future, and to look what is working well and what is not working well and which worries have been met. And it's so visual that it's much easier for the clients to see what is in which quadrant and what answers need to have to be developed. And we have wonderful experiences in the meantime, social workers who used this quadrant, even to work with families. I remember a social worker told us that she was working with a mother. Everybody said she is mentally delayed or a learning, slow learner or whatever fantastic words were offered. And everybody thought, you are always negotiating things and she doesn't do anything of the negotiated things. So she is not able. And the very young social workers, we were very impressed by her because it was a training course with 3 modules. So we had the chance to get to know what the people did with this concept. And she told us that she had a conversation with this mother. And this mother was very much able to understand this concept of past, future, negative, positive. That's, I think, maybe a person with 5 or 6 years can already understand this. And she had so many ideas. And the miracle, so to say, is that very often, if you are very skilled, the worries you are having as an institution are very much the same than a young mother has with a child. And this was what she told us in this conversation. And then this mother said, I am so worried that you will take my child away. So I will do everything you want me to do. And she said, look at this paper. There's so much in this quadrant. There's so much in this quadrant, in the positive fields. And here are the negative things. Here are the things we have to work on. And we have to find a way to meet these worries and to find solutions. But do you think when there is so much in this positive, in the field what's working well, do you really think I'm at the edge of taking the child? And this opens up a totally different conversation because it enables the mother to talk about the things she is worried. And she's not in the status that she says, everything is okay, because I don't want you to take my child away. Everything is okay. For us, I think this is the development to change the mapping into a mapping which is showed in the quadrant.
Mm-hmm. I'm really profoundly inspired how you work on and how you focus on bringing a different kind of conversation into the dialogue with practitioners, with social workers, among social workers, but then also between social workers and families. And with that also to bring, I think I'm convinced this will also bring different conversations and interactions into families, because if you see what's working, then you can do more of that. Yeah, it's so much easier to come up with offensive things about other people rather than to think about in very concrete, behavioral, observable actions. And I really love the way how you describe, how you invite people to do that, and also how you share the differences this makes.
What I found interesting about the story Marianne said is that in this case, there were 3 or 4 professionals in the room, and in the beginning, the professionals started to help the mother to express herself. And the social worker told us that she asked the other professional to let the mother speak alone. So this, they thought, mentally delayed mother just spoke, and she wrote down what she said. And at the end of the session, there were only words of the mother in the quadrants. And the social worker said, all my worries were in the words of the mother in the quadrants. And she said, before the session, we thought the mother in the different fields we are worried about, she is not making any progress. And after the session, she said, we saw that in any field, the mother was able to manage it sometimes in a good way. And it got clear. We had to work on how she can do this continually. But we saw in any field that sometimes she is able to make it. And she said, and in the whole thing, only the words of the mother were written down. And so the mother and all the professionals saw on the wall only words of the mother. And she said, these words were enough. So in this case, it's not necessary to make statements or something like this, because this is enough and they can continue the work. But sometimes, or when you start, you have to make some kind of statements to make the frame of reference or the perspective of the authorities to make it explicitly and transparent. And then we encourage the people to do the same, like the people in the classic solution-focused setting, to say after the session, the team discuss what should we tell the client. So you have this intervention break, and we say the professionals should, in some cases, do the same, to think about what should we tell the family, to use their words and to use their language, but what is necessary to tell them and what would be good to tell them, and to think about statements.
I would like to come back to this case we were just talking about, because you said the professional thought in the beginning that she wouldn't do anything and she wasn't able to do anything and there were no so-called exceptions. And then by searching through and talking with the client about all the situations where something worked a little bit, they found out these exceptions. And I remember Wolfgang afterwards said, now I understand one principle. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. Because if you are not very skilled to find out those little moments where something a little bit works, or if there's so-called one exception addressing the topic or the question or the problem or the worry, you're stepping on this little grass root which is working. And then you are repairing something that is not broken, because as you don't know, she has a strategy to address one worry. You are stepping on this little route where she knows how to do it. And I think that was a very sparkling moment when Wolfgang said, now I understand what this principle means, because it means more than don't fix problems the people are not having, because you always have ideas what others could do better or what would be nice if they did this or so. I think that's very understandable that this principle means this. But the other interpretation of this principle, I think that's very, very interesting, especially in a field where there are mandated clients.
What just touches me a lot is to hear how the social worker that worked with you or that worked on that case, how she was able to address the person she was talking with in her resources first, and how she was able to listen instead of coming up with ideas about her lack of education, but instead really listening and waiting for the answers. Because I think this is one of the things when we start to make up things in our heads about other people, then we don't listen because we know already. And she must have done something brilliant in also in providing the space for listening also to the others. And then just noticing how this listening also changed the behavior of the others, so that all of a sudden said, well, oh, she knows about our worries as well, and really changed this a lot. And that's really touching, and I think very profoundly. And you can see how simple it is and how difficult at the same time.
I think very, very often we are talking about empowerment, whatever this is. And I think in this case, you can see how a person who knows that everybody in the room thinks she is slowly developed or she's a slow learner. Everybody knows this, and the client knows this for sure. And then suddenly she sees everything she said is on the board, and it's in the exact words she uses. So I think this is a wonderfully showing how you can support empowerment in reality.
It also shows what appreciation really means, really in a sense of listening and taking the things that the person says seriously. And it also was such a nice example of how to get to the common project, because I guess now it was not the child protection services and the mother, but it was a common project to get to where they both, they all wanted to go. So it's really a very, very great example of how to do that.
And I think it's the only way, because if you're not able to manage to get to a common project, change will not happen.
Mm.
I mean, really grounded change will not happen.
Wow.
Marianne and Wolfgang, you knew Steve and Insu quite well. If there is one story or like one important thing you learned from them and that you would love to share here with us, what would that be?
Maybe it's a personal story, which doesn't really have to do something with the solution-focused approach. I remember we invited her to Vienna for a training, which lasted, I think, there were 3 modules. One was supposed to be done by Steve, and one was supposed to be done together, but Steve died before so she did all the modules. And after the death of Steve, she stayed always at our flat. And Wolfgang and me, we were joking very often that she wasn't staying at our flat because she liked us so much. Much more, she was staying in the flat because our office is right next to our flat. So she was very able to work in the very morning before the workshop was and in the evening after the workshop was ended. And one nice thing I remember, one evening we went out to a Korean restaurant. And I remember we stepped into this Korean restaurant and we sat down on the table. There was the translators and the two of us and Insu and maybe someone else, I don't remember. And then she sat on this round table and she started to take the menu and then she started to order. She didn't ask anyone what they wanted. She just ordered this and this and this and was negotiating with the staff. And then she wanted to order kimchi, this Korean kind of salad. And in the menu, you could see the price of the kimchi. And then she was quite nearly angry that they thought they would sell this kimchi. So she said, no, 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 no. In Korea, that's always going with the food. No, no, no. And so, so we had this kimchi.
And for free.
For free. And
she insisted. She insisted that it's not possible to pay for a kimchi. Yeah.
So sometimes it's better to be clear than to ask questions, right?
That's true. That's an interesting conclusion. But we weren't able to understand this conclusion by this time. I was just fascinated how she behaved in this context of the restaurant.
How she used statements to get the kimchi for free.
Wow. This is good.
So yeah, so let's come to the challenge of the week.
We experienced in our work that we are on a journey to talk even about things that does not work in a solution-focused way. So we think if you try to use the solution-focused approach, you should really think about what's working well, what are the small things which are working well. And maybe you should also think about what do you want to see, maybe build on what's working well or what do you want to see. And our experience that is also a possibility to think about things which are not working well in a solution-focused way. So maybe you can try in the next week, if you are disturbed or irritated by something, to think in a very specific and concrete way. What is this what's not working well? What is this what's irritating me, if you like? And you can try to avoid to go in generalizations or in abstract terms and to really make it very concrete and specific and not to forget to think about what's working well in general and what's working well related to the thing which irritates you. And what do you want to see?
I really, really like this challenge because, well, I particularly like it because I have something to think about already. And also because I think there's this big, big misunderstanding that in solution focus, we do not talk about things that don't work well and we don't even think about it because we just go for the fluffy, nice things. And this is not how solution focus was developed. It was developed in areas that you were working, was developed for the really hard cases where people came with severe problems, with severe things going on in their life. They didn't want that way. Yeah, so I'm curious what everyone who does the challenge will find out this week and how the challenge of the week will work for you. So please do the challenge, try it out, and let us know what inspired you about it, and comment in the comment field on www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast, and then go to episode number 108.
And also let us know how you address your worries. Sometimes it's very good not only to think about them, but really also to make statements about them, and then tell also others what you would like to see instead. And we're very curious how you manage to address those worries and what works well and what you find out there. So please let us know and comment in the comments fields of this podcast.
And for everyone who wants to learn more about Wolfgang and Marianne, you will find all the contact details and the website to the Netzwerk Ost in the resource section of this podcast. And for everyone who can read in German, there is a beautiful article in our new book, Fascination Solution Focus, from Marianne and Wolfgang about their work in the child protection services field.
Again, thank you very much for hosting us here in your apartment here in Strobl at the wonderful Lake Wolfgangsee. And yeah, like you said in the beginning, we're always so happy to be with you and to talk together and see what emerges and yeah, being inspired from each other. So we hope to be back soon. And we also hope to talk about all the other things that you do and all the other interests that you have in Solution Focus again on the podcast soon. So thank you very much for having us. And yeah, everybody out there, we're looking forward to seeing you, hearing you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Very nice. Thank you.
Wow. What a great episode again. This was the Simply Focus podcast with Alfie Cherney and Dominic Odat, your podcast for a life in joy and ease.